This is the Value Investor Podcast with Tracy Reinick. All things value, all the time.
Welcome back, value investors. So as the stock market continues to rally here in 2024, I know that many of us value investors feel like we've kind of missed it, we're priced out, you know, the good days of the cheap stocks are behind us, because even some of the boring stocks now have had pretty big rallies. And I'm talking about some of the ones that are even in like areas like manufacturing that normally we haven't seen this type of rally and look a little pricey, at least on a PE basis. But I thought I'd take a look in this week's episode of the podcast about some former high flyers, and some of them have sold off here in 2024. So not everything is hitting new highs. And some of these are very popular names that maybe you might already own, or you've always thought about owning them, but they were always just too expensive, or they were rallying year after year. You felt like you missed it. You didn't want to chase it. But now, maybe 2024 is an opportunity to take another look at some of these stocks. And I didn't run a screen for these because I could have run, I guess, for stocks that are trading near their 52-week low. I didn't look for any valuations here. I just looked, I just had some stocks in mind that I've been talking about either on Twitter or I've been kind of following. One of them, or no, two of them I actually own in my own portfolio. So that's kind of how I know that they've sold off and things aren't going all that great with the stock, at least. And so I kind of want to take a look at some of these names because, again, sometimes it pays to look at the ones that are in the pullback or even the correction, or even more, maybe they might even be in like a bear market pullback with some of these. And why is that? Are there any deals here among some of these? Now, again, I'm not searching by a PEG ratio or a PE with these. They are mostly growth stocks, but they have gotten cheaper. So I don't mind looking for those types of value stocks. So we have classic value stocks that are stocks with all the PE fundamentals that we follow here that we can screen for, and we often do on the podcast, including like the PEG ratio, the price to sales ratio, the price to book, the PE, obviously, or the classic value that combines all of those things plus the price to cash flow ratio. You can, of course, we can find the classic value stocks by using screens and looking for those ratios and cheapness in those ratios. But there is something to be said for the other type of value, and that's when a stock basically just goes on sale. And you can still get deals in growth stocks or growthier stocks, as I like to call them, that have taken a tumble for whatever reason and maybe are looking a lot more attractive and kind of coming in the radar of those of us who are value investors, because value isn't just about the PE ratio and the other classic fundamentals. It's also about looking at companies that the market is ignoring or down on for whatever reason. And some of these stocks do fit that bill because they're not really making the lists out there of the stocks everybody wants to be in. They're not even as much talked about right now because of their stock weakness. And as we know, it's never really fun to talk about those that have sold off or that are on sale. So as I've said before, stocks are one of the few items that when they go on sale, we don't like to buy them. And it kind of goes against our instinct to buy them after a big sell-off, because what's wrong with it, right? Why isn't anyone else liking this stock? What is going on that it does appear to be cheap or cheaper than it has been? So these are all good questions to ask. And as always, you can't just look at, you know, the the analyst estimates on Zacks.com, maybe the PE ratio and a couple of other things, and decide, you know, oh, this, I know everything going on about this company. So be sure to do more research on these companies before you buy any stock. Make sure you know what's going on with management, with the business. Check out the conference calls that they've done, or at least read part of the transcript. Go on like StockTwits and put in the ticker symbol and kind of see what everyone is saying. Now, sometimes StockTwits gets a little crazy, but it's a source of information. And sometimes there's very good information posted on StockTwits, especially around the earnings report, or if there's some kind of event, like they do a secondary, they raise their dividend, or they cut the dividend, or, you know, some other kind of announcement, M&A, anything like that. Usually you will find people on StockTwits who are posting whatever news they can about like those events. And it's kind of a good place to go for that. So get information, because information is power. And remember, Warren Buffett, before the computer age, used to order the annual reports from every company he was interested in. And he would pore over the details, the financials, and what the company was saying in those annual reports. And he had stacks of these things in his garage. So we don't have to do that anymore, but we still do have to look at the same basic information when we're trying to conclude whether or not we want to be an owner of this company. Because remember, if you're a long-term investor, you are an owner. It's a different story if you're trading it. But us value investors, we do like to own for the longer periods. So we are investors, and you know, we have to do our due diligence, as the saying goes. Okay, so what are these stocks that are going the other way when everything is seemingly going, you know, up higher in 2024, including even energy stocks that have started to make a run finally? They're in a mix of categories, but like I said, they're all well-known growthier type of stocks. So I wanted to pick prominent names because those are the ones we're all watching. And I do want to know, can I get a deal in some of these? Okay, so the first one I wanted to cover is in cybersecurity. This has been a hot area for years now, and it doesn't seem to be dying off anytime soon, but Palo Alto Networks, ticker P as in Paul, A as in Andrew, N as in Nancy, W as in Wendy, P-A-N-W, has taken a tumble here in 2024. So over the last month, the shares are down 6.7%. Year to date, they're actually also in the red, down 4.3%. They did have the big tumble after their recent earnings report. And even though they beat on that earnings, or maybe met, let me look. They have a little green arrow on Zacks.com. And sometimes that can mean it's just a small beat, or it can mean a meet. Let me see. No, they did beat 146 versus 130 for the last quarter. So it was a 12% beat, or 16 cents. So they were still beating, and that's a good thing, but the shares did sell off on their guidance and some of their comments. So I took a look because even though the shares are up almost 50% in the last year, they are a lot cheaper this year. They were trading as high as almost $380. They're trading around $280 as I'm recording this. So you can see they've come down a little bit here. And the PE now is at 52. So I'm not saying this is cheap, but it's cheaper than it was. PEG ratio is 2. That's not super cheap either, but again, it's cheaper than it was. So I went down to look at the earnings estimates, and sure enough, 3 are down in the last 60 days for fiscal 2024. 8 are higher, however, but next year, fiscal 2025, 11 are lower. So people are really bullish, and then now they're not. And only 2 are up in the last 60 days over there. So what does it look like for earnings growth? We're still expected to see 23% earnings growth this year. So they made $4.44 last fiscal year, expected to make $5.49, and then next fiscal year, $6.11. So 23% higher this fiscal year, and then 11% higher next fiscal year. Sales expected to be up 16% to $8 billion from $6.89 billion, and then another 14.6% in fiscal 2025. So this is like on sale. The shares have gotten cheaper to pay for these earnings. So if you've been kind of on the sideline with a lot of these cybersecurity companies because of just the valuations, and they've been up and away for so many years, and for many of us, we were looking for deals or looking for a chance to get in, and there really just didn't seem to be that kind of chance in a lot of these. But this could be an opportunity in Palo Alto Networks, because the actual estimates still are holding up pretty good. It does not have any value trappiness there. And so they're still expected to see, you know, double-digit growth this year, this fiscal year, and next fiscal year. So that's Palo Alto Networks, ticker PANW. Okay, switching over to retail. Recently, Lululemon just reported its earnings. I do own it in my own portfolio, and I have for a number of years now. They've been the premier kind of athleisure company for many years, and they've got those popular yoga pants, but they've expanded into men's business. They have popular golf shirts for men, especially, but even, you know, pants, shorts, all this stuff has been working for Lulu. But it does look like maybe they're seeing a little bit of slowing now in the rate of growth in the business. And some of the analysts are thinking they're finally facing competition, maybe from companies like Alo, which just opened up a store on Michigan Avenue here in Chicago, and Aritzia, that is a lot of women's clothing company from Canada, very popular with the 20-somethings as well. And so these shares sold off big after this earnings report, even though they also did beat on the earnings for the quarter. Okay, so over the last month, the shares are down 17% off that earnings report. Year to date now, down 24.1%. 1 year, they're down 23.8%. The PE has come down off of this weakness in the shares. PE is now at 27. That is a bit cheaper than they have been historically. They have been trading, you know, almost as high as 40 times in the past, and certainly in the 30s. They have a PEG ratio of 1.4. What do estimates look like now? They just had earnings not too long ago, but the analysts have had time to digest it. And I'm looking at it for the first time, and I see it's all kind of all over the place. So the company did give guidance for this next fiscal year, fiscal 2025, and they came in a little under for the year of the Zacks consensus. So that's was hence the big sell-off. Everybody's like, oh, the growth is over, but earnings still expected to be up 11.2% in this fiscal year. They made $12.77 last year, expected to make, well, on the Zacks consensus, $14.20 now. And then next year, 2026 already, I guess it would be another 12.9% to $16.03. So this is one of the ones where you have to ask, how much am I willing to pay for this kind of growth story, especially if the growth is slowing? People don't like growth stocks that slow, right? Hence the sell-off and some of the analysts' kind of downgrades on the company. But this is where value investors start to sit up and take notice, right? So this fiscal year, the last 7 days, because they did just report 9 estimates are lower, but two are higher in that. So two analysts had to be a little more pessimistic, and they actually had to raise it. And then for next fiscal year, seven are lower, only one is higher. So you can see it's a bit more bearish here because they did guide under the Zacks consensus. And again, a lot of the analysts are concerned about the growth trajectory slowing quite a bit here. So that's Lululemon, ticker LULU. L as in Larry, U as in upside. L as in Larry, U as in upside. And so, yeah, 27 times. We'll see if that one can bounce back here, or if some of us value investors start diving in and adding to positions or adding for the first time on that stock. Okay, so let's go over to autos, auto manufacturer. And you know what one I'm going to talk about because it's the one that has sold off big this year, Tesla, ticker TSLA. Now, this is another one that maybe you always wanted to buy, or at least in the last couple of years you did, but it kind of got away from you when it had that big rally. And now it's going the other way. So over the last month, the shares are down 9.7%. Year to date, they're down 27%. And then over the last year, they're down, but only 5.4%. So they've gotten a little bit cheaper here this year. And I do think that valuation is playing a factor in Tesla, and a slowdown here as well, like we're seeing in Lulu in the business a bit. So the PE is at 58 now, but that is a lot cheaper than it used to be. PEG still elevated, however, at 3.2 times. So that's a little pricier for me, you know, compared to Lulu, for example, at 1.4. What is earnings and the sales looking like? So 2024 earnings are expected to be down 2.2%. This is the slowing, and you know, everybody's seeing it in the auto manufacturing side, not just Tesla. But they made 312 last year, expected to make 305 this year. So not a huge decline. Sales still expected to be up 14%. They had sales of 96.7 billion last year, expecting 110.7 this year. So that's good to see. Next year, analysts are seeing a rebound. Earnings expected to be up 31% to 402. And remember, Zacks consensus 305 for this year. So this doesn't look like a value trap to me because we are not seeing, you know, estimates being cut for 2025. Oh no, we are seeing them being cut. Sorry. They are being cut for 2025, but we're not seeing a further decline in the estimates compared to this year. So we are seeing the 402 versus the 305. But will that hold up? I don't know, because now I'm looking down and I'm seeing that three estimates have been cut in the last 30 days for 2025. Four have been cut for 2024, and one has been cut even just in the last 7 days. So the analysts are still pretty pessimistic on what's going on in the auto side of things. And so they continue to adjust these estimates. Tesla's actually missed on earnings the last two quarters. It never has really cared whether or not it beat or missed. So that may not be a factor for many investors. But it does mean the analysts are not really in the same vein as the company, right? They've been too optimistic, perhaps, where the company is then reporting under what they were expecting. So hence, the analysts are getting a little more bearish now, trying to get on the same page as what's going on in the reality of the business, which does appear to be slowing a bit. So that's Tesla. Still got that 58 PE, but off those highs pretty dramatically now. I want to see, is it trading here? So 52-week high, $299. 52-week low, $152. And it's at $180 right now as I'm recording this. So off quite a bit off those 52-week highs. And that's what us value investors like to see. So maybe time to put Tesla on your watch list, perhaps, and see if it gets any cheaper. I don't know. That could be a thing, but that's Tesla, ticker TSLA. Then switching back over to the retail side with Nike. They just reported earnings as well, similar to Lululemon. And they also seeing a slowdown in the business, even though they beat big on this quarter. Over the last year, the shares are down 23.3%. Year to date in 2024, down 13.9%. And this month, as the shares have fallen off this earnings report, down 10.5% in the last month. So we've got them on sale, but is it cheap? Forward PE is at 25. That's not as cheap as I've seen it sometimes in the past, but it has come down. PEG ratio, though, is at 1.7. That's not real cheap. They do pay a dividend yielding 1.6% right now. So at least you're getting something for your patience with Nike. But what do those estimates look like after this earnings report? I know that the analysts have had to make a lot of changes, and it looks similar to what we were seeing with Lululemon. So 7 estimates are higher for fiscal 2024 in the last 7 days. None are lower. So we have a lot of raising there. But fiscal 2025, 8 are lower for next year. Only 1 is higher. And what does it look like, though? We're still expected to see 14% earnings growth in this fiscal 2024 year, which we're nearing the end of. I think that was third quarter they just reported, perhaps. Or no, maybe not. Let me see. It's always hard to tell with these fiscal guys. That might have only been second quarter. But 14% earnings growth. They made $3.23 last year, expected to make $3.70 this year, and then $4.01 for next year, even though the estimates have been cut in the last 7 days. So they were expected to make $4.16 before the earnings report, now $4.01 for fiscal 2025. So there's a little bit of value trappiness here. The estimates are going in the wrong direction for this one, but still expecting to see 14% this year, but just 8% next year on the earnings growth side. Sales, it's a different story on the sales side, just 0.9% this fiscal year in the sales growth and about 3% for the next fiscal 2025. So Nike's still struggling a bit. That's why the shares are on sale. But is this cheap enough to get in here when the analysts are pretty bearish and still cutting those earnings estimates? I'm not sure, but it's enough to put it on my watch list. So that's Nike, ticker NKE. And then we're going to finish it up with another stock that I've owned in my own personal portfolio, I want to say for about a decade now, and it is Starbucks, ticker SBUX. And if you haven't been paying any attention to it, you might be surprised to know it's trading near its 52-week lows. It's not really testing it. It's hovering right around the 52-week low mark. So what has it done over the last month? It's down 3.4%. Year to date, it's down 5.1%. And over the last year, it's down 7.4%. So this hasn't had the big plunge like some of the others on an earnings report. Just kind of been slow and steady, kind of lower. It's not doing what the rest of the market is doing, like even in the restaurant industry, like a Wingstop or a Chipotle, where it's up, up, and away. This one is weak, very volatile, up, down, and now down near its 52-week low. So is there any value here? Should we be looking at this stock once again? PE is at 22. PEG is at 1.4. So the PE is on the cheaper side here, especially for a growthy type company, but does it have any growth? So The earnings for this fiscal year are expected to be up 14.7%. They made $354 the prior year. They're expected to make $406 this fiscal year. And then up another almost 16% for fiscal 2025, up to $471. So that's $406 to $471 if they can do it. And on the sales side, sales up 7.8%. this fiscal year and up 9.6 the next fiscal year. Now, where are the estimates? They are being cut, and they were cut after the last earnings report. So 12 were cut for this fiscal year in the last 60 days, and only one was raised. So 2024, this fiscal year, it has come down a bit, but only 9 cents from 415 to 406. Next year has also come down a bit as those estimates were also cut in the last 60 days, but again, still expecting another 16% earnings growth nevertheless. But this is a little bearish, a lot like Nike. Still seeing the growth there, but not as growthy as the analysts originally expected, and they're having to cut, and those earnings estimates are coming down a bit. That is not great, which is why the stock is behaving as it's doing and not really going anywhere, but weak to down, right? Starbucks also missed on its last earnings report by 2 cents. It reported 90 cents instead of 92. That's a rare miss for Starbucks. They usually do beat. But looking at what's going on with the fundamentals, there's a lot going on with a company like Nike or Starbucks that has operations globally. And when you get geopolitical events happening, or you get the reopening or recession in a country like China, or even just a slowdown in one of your big markets, even if there were to be a slowdown in, say, the United States, which is its largest market, then you're really going to see impacts on earnings and the sales side. So there's a lot of balls in the air. I recommend people go tune in to those conference calls. It also has fairly new management. It has a new CEO. So there's a lot of things going on with Starbucks right now, but still growing its loyalty program quite diligently. So people are still pretty much addicted to Starbucks, myself included. That's why I bought it all those years ago, because I figured if I can't beat them, I'll join them. And remember, you are an owner of the company. So, buy what you use in some cases, right? And so that's what I've done. But the shares are, pretty weak here, and it's not liked by the street or investors currently, and that makes it a little more interesting of the value side of the play. This one does pay a dividend. It's yielding 2.5% currently. It has always been shareholder friendly and has raised that dividend pretty diligently. I don't think they're in one of the like dividend aristocrats, but I'd have to look. I'm not sure if they've raised it every year, for the allotted time period or not. I don't think so, but they have raised the dividend over the years. And again, it's yielding 2.5%. So that's not too shabby, again, to have to reward you for your patience. And over the last number of years, with the pandemic hitting, everything going on with the business, if you look at the chart, it's been pretty crazy on Starbucks during the pandemic years as well, for obvious reasons. When you have like thousands of your stores shut, that is an issue. Let me just look real quick what the five-year return is. So 5 years, only up 22.7%. And that is below the S&P 500 for sure during that period, which is up now 84%. So we do like to look at stocks that, are kind of in the doghouse. That's a definition of a value stock. And all these stocks right now are in some kind of doghouse. That doesn't always mean they're going to stay there, right? This could be a buying opportunity in some of these names, even if they remain on the pricier side. As I mentioned before, even if you're a value investor, You're not running a value mutual fund, most likely. You're not Warren Buffett, who can only buy value, but even still, one of his lieutenants bought Amazon and claimed there was value there, right? Because value isn't always just the PE or the price to sales ratio. It can be these other things where it's a value compared to its industry. It's a value compared to its own history. It's a value based on, having a big sell-off and now it's a lot cheaper. It's a value if people are ignoring it. There's a lot of different definitions of value, and a lot of these are fitting the definitions, but beware of those value traps of the estimates starting to come down, the growth starting to come down. You might and probably can get the stocks cheaper on the value fundamental side that we usually do look at, PE, the price of sale, and all of that. As the growth investors exit these trades and the value investors aren't in them yet because they don't deem it cheap enough. So Buffett's not in them yet because he's like, no, that's not good enough for me yet. And, you know, it may go lower still. That's why I recommend a watch list. It's always good to have, or dollar cost average slowly into some positions, because then you will just buy more if the stock continues to decline. So let me recap the stock tickers we talked about. These are a little different ones than we normally talk about on the Value Investor Podcast. I don't think we've ever covered Palo Alto Networks on the Value Investor Podcast, but here we are. So Palo Alto Networks, PANW, Lululemon, ticker LULU, Tesla. I don't know if I've covered Tesla either. Maybe way back in the day when we first started. Tesla, ticker TSLA, Nike. I think we have covered Nike in the past, ticker NKE, and now Starbucks, looking a little more like a value trade here, ticker SB as in boy, UX as in X-ray, SBUX. And as always, you want to be sure to subscribe to get all of the podcasts. You can find us on YouTube under Zach's Podcasts, but you can also get us on Apple. We're on Spotify. We're on Amazon Music. Just about anywhere you can get podcasts, you can find us. Just Google us. Google the Value Investor Podcast at Zach's, Z-A-C-K-S, and you will get us. But get us somewhere, because I'll be back next week with some more value stocks.
This material is being provided for informational purposes only, and nothing herein constitutes investment, legal, accounting, or tax advice, or a recommendation to buy, sell, or hold a security. Do not act or rely upon the information and advice given in this podcast without seeking the services of competent and professional legal, tax, or accounting counsel. Publication and distribution of this podcast is not intended to create, and the information contained herein does not constitute an attorney-client relationship. No recommendation or advice is being given as to whether any investment or strategy is suitable for a particular investor. It should not be assumed that any investments in securities, companies, sectors, or markets identified and described were or will be profitable. All information is current as of the date herein and is subject to change without notice. Any views or opinions expressed may not reflect those of Zacks Investment Research as a whole.